Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Today, my very special guest is Christine Alessio. She is running in hopes of becoming La Mesa's first woman mayor, challenging the current mayor, Dr. Marga Rapostathis. She is a former La Mesa City Councilwoman with a background in land use, law, business, and community service. She holds degrees in philosophy and law, and she's a La Mesa native who raised her daughter here. As a former city council member, she spearheaded some local initiatives, including term limits, the climate action plan, pension liability pay down plan, smoke-free La Mesa ordinance, and an affordable homes bonus program. La Mesa, as many know, is changing from a sleepy small town, and it's now facing some of those challenges that bigger cities face. Christine says the city needs a dynamic mayor with leadership that she hopes to provide. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
So can we start by having you tell us what your top priorities will be if you're elected mayor?
My top priorities are very simple. The government needs to serve the people. And right now, the main challenges facing La Mesa are preservation of community character, adequate police and fire, and financial issues. We have a sales tax called Prop L, which funds a huge portion of our city. And it's set to sunset in 2028, and nothing has been done or worked on about that. And that's a little scary. That's the financial thing. The other thing is preservation of neighborhood and neighborhood character. It's a big thing. You see new buildings going up all over La Mesa. Neighborhoods worried, concerned, they don't want their neighborhood to look like downtown LA. And that's a big issue. And that's where my skill set, my expertise in land use, zoning, law, all of that is just sets me apart from my opponent who just does not have that skill set. And as La Mesa changes and we're faced with these issues, we need a mayor who can react without relying on staff. We need a mayor who can be out in front of these issues.
Yeah, you're jumping into my first question, actually, was that the size and scale of development has been a huge issue in La Mesa. With, on one hand, you have a statewide push for affordable, transit-oriented housing, and you know, obviously there is a need for more housing statewide. On the other hand, as you pointed out, a lot of residents have been voicing concern about protecting the community character, and La Mesa in particular is a historic town. Preserving that historic ambiance on the other hand. So how, Christine, would you balance or prioritize these competing concerns? You know, can we do both?
They aren't necessarily competing. I also sit on the board of directors of the La Mesa Historical Society, which is now the La Mesa History Center. One thing we've been trying to get off the road is an inventory of our historic homes. That has met with pushback from either city staff or elected officials. That is a step. You inventory, you see what houses, what areas have historic resources, and that those areas should have design guidelines so that any the new construction fits with the character of the neighborhood. Right now, we have basically no design guidelines in La Mesa, zero.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a, it's supposed to be a,
and from a developer's
height limit, I was going to say, but yet there's been a lot of push to waive that and build high rises. And the issue is if you put something up, I guess the biggest example was when they tried to build Park Station and a developer wanted to put 18 stories up. Right now, there's a push for, you know, a 5-story one elsewhere. And I guess the issue that many La Mesans have is it's great to say, let's preserve historic character, you know, a few blocks here or there. But if you start putting 18-story high-rises up, pretty soon you're going to see them all over.
Want to do that. And I think, you know, a good example of that is the proposed plan, which you covered, the Alvarado specific plan.
Right.
They're, the people who were following it are housing advocates. They are not anti-growth people, but it's the character of the existing neighborhood, the bulk and scale of the project.
Yes.
And a lot of that is going to be within state law and our own city ordinances allowed to go higher because of the Affordable Homes
Right.
Bonus Act and the state requirements on that. Mm-hmm. So that's when you really need to look at design features and design. And I am not in favor of building five stories in the village. I think that would be a tragedy, to be honest.
I like the idea of design, excuse me, clear my throat. Design guidelines is interesting because the other thing I hear from people is, you know, if we need to have a little bit taller buildings like this, do they have to look like a prison?
A box. What I was saying is design guidelines, and it's not a bad thing. It's actually, as a developer, it's helpful to have design guidelines because then you are not just taking a stab in the dark and hoping that the design review board will approve your project. You know what you need to build. What I view as a very good example of a nice project that was controversial at the time, but ended up being a lovely project is the Haven, the Little Flower Haven. They a superb job of matching the architecture, of creating a pleasing building. The concerns of the neighbors did not materialize, but we had a backup plan, which was something that I also started, which was the idea that if your neighborhood became adversely affected by too many cars, you could get a neighborhood parking permit program. Now, no one wants to go there, but that should be an option. And I was really proud of getting the council to do that in case it was a problem.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, design guidelines, having your historic resources identified, whether they be commercial or not, and making it easier for the developer, it makes it easier, promotes housing to have clear design guidelines.
Homelessness has been growing in La Mesa and actually across our region, made even worse by the pandemic, I think. Christine, what is your plan to humanely address the homelessness problem in La Mesa?
I think right now we are doing a very good job with our current program, but what we also need to do, and it's imperative, is we need to equip our law enforcement agencies, especially our fire department, which takes up the brunt a lot of the dealing with the homeless, and they are not, the fire department's not equipped to do that. So we need to get them some help. We really do. And until there's changes at the state level regarding a person who's not down on their luck, homeless because of the pandemic, but is mentally ill or drug addicted, it's going to be very difficult for us to deal with those individuals. I encounter them on a daily basis, and it's heartbreaking mm-hmm. when someone is talking to a building, but how do we reach that person? Or telling me that in Kentucky, there's a senator that's going to kill him because he's a Cherokee, and this is a well-known homeless individual in downtown La Mesa. And I say, you need to get to the housing. You need to get, no, I won't go because they'll make me take my drugs. And that's something that is going to need to change at the state level. In the meanwhile, we need to make sure that our law enforcement, our first responders are equipped to deal with them, with homelessness, and especially for the people who fall into that category of mentally ill and drug addicted.
Yeah, we should say the state is pushing forward a plan.
Yes, now.
Do you support that, the care court plan that Governor Newsom actually is pushing forward?
Yes, it's actually a good step in the first direction. But in the meanwhile, we need to have adequate response to this. So if a business owner has a homeless person sitting there defecating on their property, doing this, that person needs to be moved off the street, given a ticket, so that it's not welcoming for them. In essence, you're forcing them to make positive changes in their life to maybe get back on their medication, get helps for drug and alcohol. And it's tragic. And in the meanwhile, the people who are homeless because they have lost their jobs. They've had a fight with their husband, their, you know, moms and children. We need to continue to provide services for them.
What about shelter? I know there was a controversy a couple of years ago where there was a proposal for one and it got shot down. It was going to include not just La Mesa homeless, but some coming from other areas. El Cajon's mayor held a press conference yesterday complaining about the county converting motels to house the homeless temporarily out there. And his major complaint was that some of these homeless weren't from El Cajon. They were coming in from other areas. And El Cajon is saying, why aren't the cities of Santee, La Mesa, Lemon Grove, setting up shelters, at least for some of their own homeless? Is that something that La Mesa should consider doing in partnership with the county, perhaps, to at least take care of some of its own?
I don't think so. Our homeless population in La Mesa, when you count, does not warrant building a shelter.
Okay. Moving on, La Mesa has seen racial justice protests, including that devastating riot that was fueled in part by actions of a La Mesa police officer who's since been dismissed. You've said you want to increase the city's police force to respond faster to calls. You also drew a bit of criticism after the riot for voicing support for certain groups like Defend East County that were formed ostensibly to protect the merchants, but later got involved in some controversial actions of their own. So, Christine, how would you approach improving public safety while also, do you think we need to do more to address the racial tensions that were the root causes of these conflicts to begin with?
I think that the police department has done an excellent job of addressing that. And I think that I'm in La Mesa every day. I shop, I play, I work. I'm always in La Mesa. And to be honest, I don't see a lot of racial tensions between the residents. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so you think the plan that the police rolled out, the reform plan that they've been implementing,
yes, and you have to be careful. And no one wants to be pulled over because of the color of their skin. No one should be, and we cannot allow that. Mm-hmm. And it just can't be. And as mayor, another thing that the mayor can do and needs to do, and I remember after the Helix High School incident a few years ago.
Yeah,
we're an officer.
For those who may not know what that is, an officer.
It was the
video.
Yes.
Yeah. With
there were two council members who met with the concerned citizens. Two, not the current mayor, not the other council members. One was council member Parent, and the other was me. So, as mayor, you need to get out there, talk to the people. Yeah. You don't have staff do it. Don't have the police do it. You yourself go do it. You say, okay, you feel like the police are treating you bad, or you feel there's a climate that is making you feel threatened. The mayor needs to get out there and talk, and I'll do it.
Yeah. Mayor Apostathos is a full-time teacher. So it's been a very different style than, say, when Art Madrid was there, where he made mayor full-time, probably double full-time job.
And that's true.
But I should ask about what is your time availability compared to, say, those two past models that we've seen in La Mesa?
I am very fortunate that my primary thing that I do is able to be done on computers and other things. So my time availability and my promise to the people of La Mesa is I'm going to have one day a week where open office hours. You don't need an appointment. You get me. If you're having a problem in your neighborhood, you're upset by something, you come in. It's not staff. You don't need an appointment. Come talk to me. I want to solve the problem. I'm not going to hide behind staff. I'm not going to hide behind the city manager. I want to be, so in that model, more like Art Madrid, open, accessible. And if I have to give 40 hours a week to this, I will.
Very good. Yeah. I one of my questions was going to be that you pledged to increase public engagement with the city leaders. How would you do that? I think you just answered it, unless there's anything else you want
to. It's and there are going to be people who are going to come in and they're going to be angry at me, angry at the city. And that's okay, because that's what I'm there for, to listen. Mm-hmm. And that's what the mayor needs to be doing. I mean, if someone comes in and they're mad about a development, or they're mad about something, an incident that's happened, or they're mad at the police, or they're mad at the building department, and they start hollering at me, that's fine. I'd rather be hollered at, be yelled at, or be complimented, but
hopefully
be there for them. being there for them. You need a face, you need a person, and that's me.
With your background in planning, Christine, you've talked a lot about wanting to improve the efficiency in the city's planning department. How would you do that?
I think, like, going back to, say, design guidelines that are easy to follow. Everyone knows what they are. The neighbors know, the developer knows. We need to have guidelines within the planning department itself, which makes it easy. So there's no, the staff needs to have it be so clear that when someone calls and they say, what's happening with my permit? And the staff person goes, well, I'm not sure. I guess it's okay. But I'm going to have to ask someone else. Well, no, you don't do that. You say, if it meets XYZ requirements, go for it. And you give the staff some latitude to interpret that in favor of the applicant. Too many of our residents and businesses are sitting there, the Historical Society. We have a new sign with our rebranding. It's been in the queue. Same size, same location for months now. That's not acceptable. Yeah. If I need to remodel my bathroom because my mom is moving in with me and it needs to be handicap accessible, it cannot. It is not right that should take 6 months to a year. If I want to build an ADU, either for income or so that my family member, maybe a child is moving back home or a cat.
That needs to be happening
fast, not 3 years, not 1 year. It needs streamlining. And this is the negative about Zoom.
For those that are hearing this on radio, there's a cat running behind me.
Yes, there are two cats running behind me.
Okay. So she's an animal lover.
Yes. And so that, you know, it's simple. It's having the legal knowledge of the land use process combined with the practical knowledge of working in the industry gives me so many ideas of how to make things easier for people, how to make government work for them.
Okay. Your ambitious agenda includes more street repairs, cleaning up the public right-of-ways, as we've mentioned, hiring more police officers, also providing firefighters with smaller, more efficient vehicles to respond faster to calls. All seem like admirable goals. You've also said you oppose new taxes, and you've alluded to this kind of looming financial issue. So, Christine, it begs the question of how would you pay for the programs you want to implement?
There are a few things that you can do right here and now. One is we have Prop U, the marijuana tax. Oh. That is just going into the general fund, $500,000 a year. It's not being allocated for anything in specific. Uh-huh. You take it, it's already here. It's not a new tax. It's not anything. You take it and you start spending it on those issues. It's that simple. It really is. And that tax will only increase as time goes on. And if you look at, I know you and I have talked about this and I pointed out to the city's open gov, it's there. And so parking it in the general fund without allocation to either streets, police, public right-of-way cleanup, firefighters, that's just not acceptable. So no taxes that have to do with grand schemes to build transit in North County. But here in La Mesa, we have taxes. We just need to utilize them more effectively.
Okay. La Mesa is unusual in that they've seemed to have had a tradition in recent years of elected officials who've changed political parties. It's happened both ways, Democrat to Republican, Republican to Democrat, independent, I mean, you name it. And often they're still winning re-elections since the city's voters seem to have an independent streak, voting for the person maybe or the issue, not so much the D or the R after the name. Christine, you left the Republican Party a few years ago and became an independent. And recently you rejoined it and you're now actually endorsed by the San Diego County Republican Party. Can you explain to voters your reasons for those shifts and also if there's any other endorsements you're proud of that you'd like folks to know about?
Yes, I can explain that. I was very pleased with the Republican Party until we had a parting of the ways on national issues. And I was not pleased with the way the local party responded. However, watching and coming back to the party, I realized the Republican Party is more like me. They are the party of the working people, the average person. And as we see the shift in the Republican Party to recognize that.
I have to say, Democrats are generally pro-union, pro-working people, yes, in that sense.
Generally.
So is it a little...
But as we look at the differences, what the Republican Party today is prioritizing, take all the national issues out, it is pro-business, that's a huge thing. Pro-small business, that sort of thing is something that I absolutely believe in, having worked in the private sector my entire life, having never done anything but that. And so I feel that the Republican Party is definitely becoming much more diverse, and they identify with, you know, they're gaining in all sorts of realms. Hispanics are going to the Republican Party. People of color are, because these are, they're, because it's almost like a shift from the Democratic Party of the 50s, which was the, for the workers people, the working class, to the Republican Party of 2022. And so that's why I'm back in the Republican Party.
Okay. As we noted, with those lovely cats running past in the background, Christine, you run a cat rescue organization.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, beautiful Bengal cats, right?
Savannah cats.
Yeah, gorgeous animals. So are we going to see a mascot cat for the Mesa?
I hope we have a cat mascot. I would love to have a cat mascot, but the cat mascot also needs to have a dog companion. It can't just be a cat mascot. That's not right.
Okay.
No, the official cat and dog of La Mesa, both of them, and maybe even a ferret.
La Mesa is a sanctuary city for ferrets or something.
Yes, it is. A ferret, cat, a dog. You speak about pets. That's other things that I was proud of when I was on the council, is getting rid of chickens. You can have backyard chickens in La Mesa. My God, that was scary way back when. One of my initiatives, changing the limit laws on animals so that people can respond who want to have three dogs. You can have three dogs now. It increases adoptions. It's great. And you mentioned other endorsements. I am very proud to be endorsed by the Heartland Firefighters of La Mesa. This can probably seem surprising to some people, the Carpenters Local 619.
There you go, a union.
And the Legion Club of San Diego County.
Okay, pro-business group.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's business. I'm your working class candidate. I'm the crazy cat lady who wants to help the people, the residents of La Mesa, who's not afraid of controversy, and will fight and be accessible for you, the people of La Mesa, and businesses of La Mesa.
There you go. Well, as a longtime La Mesa resident, native myself, I'm watching this race very carefully with a lot of interest. Christine, I'm going to let you have the final say today, but what else would you like people to know about you and your candidacy for mayor of La Mesa? And also, where can they find more information about your candidacy?
What I'd like people to know is that my phone is ringing. I'm sorry. What I want people to know is that I am like you. I'm just a normal person, a divorced woman who raised her child in La Mesa, basically almost as a single mother, and do volunteer work, do community work, and listen to everyone. Everyone deserves respect in this city. Everyone deserves a voice. And as mayor, that is what I will provide you, no matter what political party you're in, no matter what anything you are. You will get a mayor that works for you and is there for you. No hiding behind closed doors, no hiding behind staff. You'll just get me, plain and simple. If anyone has any questions, this is my personal cell phone number. Call me, text me. 619-806-4058. I'll say it again, 619-806-4058. I may not return your call super fast or your text, but if I will do it, within hours, unless you're texting me in the middle of the night, then maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah.
You can look at my website, which is www.christinealicio.com, and check out what I have to say. You can email me, my personal email, kckssa@cox.net. I am here for La Mesa residents, La Mesa businesses, and La Mesa.
Very good. Well, Christine, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us here on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
Thank you.